This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
The 435-acre Roger Williams Park in Providence, which goes back to the 1870s, is in for a major restoration from a $10 million campaign being led by the Rhode Island Foundation, also a supporter of Rhode Island Public Radio. And to talk about that, our guest is Rhode Island Foundation President and CEO Neil Steinberg. Neil, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
The park campaign, part of the foundation's centennial celebration. Why was the park chosen?
Well, as you noted, so next year, 2016, we're going to be 100 years old. We were founded in 1916 by a $10,000 contribution from former senator and notable Rhode Islander Jesse Metcalf. And when we looked at how we were going to celebrate our centennial, we wanted to give back to the community. That's our theme. We're Community Foundation. And the thing about Roger Williams Park is it combines a lot of elements of community. So the first thing is history. The land was given, as you noted, in the 1870s by Betsy Williams, who is the great-great-great-granddaughter of the state's founder, Roger Williams. The 100 acres that she gave, later expanded to the 400-plus acres, was actually land that Roger Williams purchased from the Narragansetts. So it had great history. It's described as a people's park. It's one of the great urban parks in the United States. When you look across, it's our version of Central Park, so to speak. And with a lot of urban parks, it gets use of a few million people a year and hopefully more going forward from across the state, but needs to be refurbished. Urban parks struggle as the urban cities do. And over time, there's a lot of opportunity to fix them up.
So, Neil, you mentioned Central Park. In what you're doing, there's a model.
Yes. So when we look at the $10 million that we're looking to raise, $5 million is to make capital expenditures, and another $5 million is for a conservancy, a friends group that will have an endowment to take care of the park going forward. And that's a direct model that they have at Central Park, where they have this conservancy that does programming, it does fundraising, and it keeps up the park forever.
What's going to be improved? I see a list where there are a lot of major park attractions that are on that list.
Yeah, so we're very excited because out of that $10 million goal, we've already reached $4.5 million. And as a good example, the Champlin Foundations are contributing $1.1 million. And the first two projects will be the Museum of Natural History and the Bandstand that both need work. You have the casino, you have the Temple to Music, the boathouse, and then you have pathways and waterways and things that improve just the overall being of the park.
Do you see any increase or decrease in the roads in there? I mean, you're thinking maybe more bike participation, more walking paths, but not necessarily more roads.
No, not more roads. Interestingly, that one of the big expenditures that isn't covered by this fundraising will be $3 million for the roads to fix them up. There's a bond that was passed a few years ago that they'll be able to tap. But no, so the pathways will be through the park, through the woods, making it more friendly for people that are using the park.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and we're speaking with Rhode Island Foundation President and CEO Neil Steinberg. Two-part question. One, let's go back to the financing. This is not a donation. And number two, it does not involve Roger Williams Park Zoo, and why?
Okay, so I'll take the second one first. The zoo is separate. The zoo has a revenue model. People pay to go there. And the zoo has had a conservancy for several years. Roger Williams Park doesn't have that same revenue model, so it needs more outside help and form the conservancy. But they're very synergistic. You know, people we hope that'll go to the park will then go to the zoo. People go to the zoo will enjoy the park. And what was the second one or the first one? Sorry.
The first part was this is not a direct donation.
Yes. So we decided after having an engineering study and talking with the Parks Department at the city that $5 million for renovations, $5 million for an endowment made sense. And our commitment is the foundation is committing $1.5 million from us. And then we're committed to helping raise the rest of the money. So it's a gift by dollars and it's a gift by doing the fundraising.
Is the Park Conservancy already formed? Does it have its own board yet, or is that part of this startup?
It was part of the startup, but about 2 months ago we formed the Conservancy, and so right now it's a little bit in a holding pattern. The entity exists; it's been formed. It has a small board, And as we go through 2016 into 2017, we'll make it a robust conservancy with community representatives and probably representatives from other constituencies that will then survive past this effort.
Do you see it taking an active role in the programming? In other words, doing the actual programming, taking care of various pieces of that, or will the city be... You know, or will it be a model where the city takes on some of those responsibilities too?
I think it'll be, you know, the classic public-private partnership. So the city is doing what it can now. There is programming. If you go to the website we now have a Conservancy RWP website, you'll see a lot of activities. This will be supplemental. So it's still the city's responsibility for the upkeep of the park. The Conservancy will take on a supplemental role for additional programming, keeping up the buildings that get refurbished.
In terms of awarding contracts following a construction schedule, who gets the work? Who decides that?
So again, working in tandem with the city. Technically, the city owns the property. The Parks Department oversees it, so the Parks Department will be doing that and going out for contract. Have already started discussions. And we, as the funders, will be overseeing that to make sure the work gets done on budget and on time.
So we are creating jobs with this and creating a nicer park, which should boost tourism.
Right. Should boost tourism. Again, it's a people's park. It's the well-being we talk about, even in economic development in the state, our quality of place. This enhances our quality of place. When the park was first formed, it was to be a fun place, a respite from industrial Rhode Island at the time. We may not be industrial Rhode Island, but I think we will see a resurgence. And I think it still has those same elements of a place where people go for wedding pictures and take their grandchildren and run through the park and just have a picnic.
Do you think it will revitalize the neighborhoods around it, you know, on the other side of Elmwood and then back toward Broad? I mean, do you see those homes really sort of growing in popularity?
You know, we've met with the neighbors, and they're very passionate and very committed to the park that's either their front or their backyard, depending where they are. I do think it has that opportunity. I think a greater sense of community, and hopefully with a greater sense of community, you get that vitality and you get people going three blocks one way or three blocks another, and you get that spillover effect.
Do you expect it when, and, you know, Dave was talking about tourism. I mean, you know, Central Park in New York is mm-hmm. a destination. I mm-hmm. mean, do you see it as a destination on that scale, and does it have the capacity to handle a lot more visitors?
Yes, it has the capacity. I think we see it first as an in-state destination for just more and more people throughout Rhode Island. But certainly, you know, we're on the way somewhere, and people stop at places on the way. And I think to the extent, again, the programming might drive that when there's a big cycling event there or there's a big road race there or a festival there, it will attract people from outside the immediate area.
Roger Williams Park, due for some major improvements. That's been the subject today on The Bottom Line. Our guest has been Rhode Island Foundation President and CEO Neil Steinberg. Neil, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
And again, thanks to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News, as always.
Great to be here, Dave.
This is Rhode Island Public Radio.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.